We're going to be in Psalm 4 tonight. In your Bibles, please, Psalm number 4. And I want to bring a little thought. And like I said, it may not be any more than a Sunday school lesson. Sometimes that's... Brother Matthias said folks can't hardly get through the announcements, much less Sunday school lesson. Amen. When you really get into preaching, it really tightens down. Amen. But maybe we can get a Sunday school lesson or announcement or two out of this. Psalm number 4. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? O Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that word of Scripture this evening. I'm going to ask Brother Wayne if he would to pray for us tonight before I preach. Brother Smith, pray for me. Will you please? Yes. God help us. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read verse 1 again, please, while these are coming back into the auditorium. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Here's the thought that I want to preach on tonight. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. I was reading in my daily devotions on yesterday. I finished up the book of Job and the Lord seemed to give me liberty to go right on into the Psalms and begin reading through them again. I tell you, it's a wonderful book in the Bible. I can't seem to stay out of the book of Psalms. It brings life into our reach. The Psalms are primarily written by David, and they deal with experiences in the life of that man of God, a man that the Bible said was a man after God's own heart. And we find that David had his ups, and we find that David had his downs. He had his problems as well as his blessings from the Lord. And I think that's what makes the Psalms so rich. They're about life, and they're something that you and I can relate to. That's why I asked you on Sunday night, if you're going to read the book of in the Bible, you're a young Christian, read the book of Psalms. It's about life, and it will bring life into reality with you, something you can get a hold of. You know, when the Lord said that there's no temptation taking us but such as is common to man, that is exactly what He meant. If you'll read through the book of Psalms, you'll find just about every problem of life that we encounter today that David and the other writers encountered in his day. And so I want to take that thought, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, and try to speak to you, maybe teach you a lesson, whatever God let me do, but try to speak to you for a little while tonight on the thought, getting bigger every day. Getting bigger. I believe that's what he said. He said, thou hast enlarged me. I've gotten bigger. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And I'm not talking about enlarging us or growing bigger physically, but I'm speaking of growing in Christian virtue and Christian knowledge, growing up into that perfect man that God would have you and I to be. And David said there in verse 1 again, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Now please notice that it wasn't while David was on the mountaintop that he was enlarged, but it was while he was in distress. I want to say there's not much growing on a mountaintop. I've driven through the high mountain areas in Colorado and up in Canada, and even in some places in Tennessee. And it seems like when you get up so high that vegetation doesn't grow like it does down in the lower altitude. In fact, the trees and things are so weather-beaten that many of them are just dried-up little scrubs and no shrubs and really don't amount to a great deal. And you know that's the way it would be in your life and my life. If we were always on the mountaintop, there'd not be a great deal of fertile soil for us to get our spiritual roots in to draw from the grace of God and grow thereby. And so it's not on the mountaintop when David talks about being enlarged or God enlarging him or giving him Christian growth and maturity. Notice that it wasn't while things were running smoothly that he was enlarged, but it was while he was in distress. You know, sometimes I believe that we got the idea if everything is going just according to Hoyle, that we must be in the will of God and the blessings of God upon our life, and we must be doing exactly what God wants us to do. I've had preachers, and some here lately, that have started out in the ministry, and they have said, "Well, God's leading me to plant a church in so-and-so city." But it's not long until they're being led to go somewhere else and to preach the gospel. And the reasoning behind that church is that God just never opened the right door, or that they encountered some trouble, or there was a problem that cropped up. I want to say to you, my friend, that 9 times out of 10, when the problems crop up and the troubles come, that is exactly where God wants us. Brother, we'll cut our teeth in the midst of trouble and in the midst of distress. David said, Thou, Lord, the Lord, not somebody else, but Thou hast enlarged me, not, Lord, while things were running smoothly, not while I was on the mountaintop, Lord, but while I was in distress. When troubles were coming my way, when problems were coming my way, when it was difficult for me to make ends meet, it is at that time when there were adversaries and evil occurrences and opponents in my life, it was at that time, Lord, that You have enlarged me. Now notice thirdly, that it was not when He was loved by many, or possessed great wealth, or found satisfaction in life, that he was enlarged, but it was when he was in distress. You know, sometimes we get the feeling that everything's running all right if people love us. There's no adversaries in our life. And we're getting along good with mankind, getting along good with those around us, getting along good with friends and acquaintances. But I'm telling you, David said that it wasn't at that time in my life, Lord. Not when I was doing good, not when I felt like everybody loved me, but it was in the time of distress. Now, I want to say that you better learn to live under stress. Oh, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, the preacher got stressed out and resigned the church," or "so-and-so got stressed out and had to give up." I'm going to tell you, friend, you better learn how to live under stress. We are in a society that is filled up with stress and distress, And it doesn't look to me like there is one iota of relief on the horizon. It does look like for a child of God and those of us that are going upstream from the normal flow of the world, that troubles and distresses are going to grow and intensify. And unless you learn to live under stress and under pressure, you will not make it for the glory of God. That's right. Now, I want to define these words. The word enlarged means to broaden. It means to make room. It means to open wide. And so in distress, we're broadened. In distress, we're opened up wide. When we're distressed, God will make room for us. I'm glad, thank God, that there is grace. God giveth more grace. And son, when we're crowded in, when we're pressed out of measure, like Paul said, it is at that time that God will make room for us and set our feet in a wide place, in a large room, and enlarge us for the glory of God. I'll just be honest now, I'm going to say this, and I know this is on tape, but I don't know about Christian suicide. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The Bible said that God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place to snap, and I'm not throwing off on Brother Seaton, but I'm just telling you, my friend, that there is a problem when we're pressed out of measure. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, that he was pressed out of measure even unto death. That he had the sentence of death in him. But God delivered him from so great a death. He said, and doth deliver me, and I trust God will yet deliver me. And I'm telling you, friend, that we serve a God who is able and has the power to deliver us out of all of our troubles, all of our distresses, all of our problems, and set us in a wide place and enlarge us while we're going through it. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Now that word distress means to be troubled from an opponent. You ever had an opponent in your life? It means to be to make narrow, as to be in a tight place. It means to be crowded by an adversary. It means to narrow or make small by an enemy. I want to say, my friend, when our enemies trouble us, when our enemies crowd us, when our adversaries press us, thank God He will enlarge us. It's not while we've got plenty of maneuvering room, it's not while things are going well, but it's when we're pressed and crowded and in adversity that God will set us in a large place and enlarge us by the good grace of Almighty God. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you need to get a hold of that. So, that's right. Some of y'all look like you've been chewing briars all day. Face longer than a Missouri mule. I'm telling you, and the things I'm going to mention to you tonight, I live under the same problems you do. I've got the same devil. I've got the same flesh. I live in the same world with the same problems, with the same difficulties, and I serve the same God that you serve. And if God gives one of us a little victory, God can give all of us victory. We're in this thing together. We better learn that we're in this thing together. And we better learn from one another and lean on one another and love one another and pray for one another. That is right. And some of the things I'm going to mention in just a minute, friend, we all go through them. I'm going to mention some distresses, then I'm going to mention some ways that God enlarges us in those distresses. I want to say that when things crowd in around us, trouble us, and become our enemy, the Lord simply gives us more room. And it appears to me that with all the difficulties of life that we encounter, that we should be growing bigger every day. David said, Thou hast enlarged me when I was distressed. That tells me the more stress, the more growth. The more distress, the more prosperity. The more trouble, the more spiritual we ought to be. Hallelujah to God. Nod your little heads up and down and say amen. For it is in adversity that God grows us and matures us and raises us up and makes us into a stalwart child of God that can walk with God through the fires of hell and feel no harm like the three Hebrew boys did. We ain't been thrown in that furnace yet. And we have not resisted against sin unto blood, striving against sin. You get a read that verse in Hebrews. Will you do it? You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know what made the blood, the sweat, turn to great drops of blood in our Lord in the garden? Striving against sin. Resisting sin. Opposing sin. And He opposed it with such great force and power and magnitude that in His humanity, I didn't say in His deity, in His humanity as a man, His sweat became as great drops of blood. You ain't never went that far. And yet, He was without sin. Somebody said, oh, He was God, but He was man. 100% man. He hurt. He thirsted. He grew weary. He got tired. Oh, yes, He felt the same pressures and temptations of life that you and I face. And the problem we have today is that we're not casting our care upon the One who cares for us, who is able to enlarge us, my friend, during these times of our life. We have a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Hall. Not a bad Sunday school lesson. Amen. I believe it'll work. Now, there's two truths that I find in this verse. Number one is that the enemy of distress. It is our enemy. That is, it is our enemy. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now that which crowds us, troubles us, becomes our opponent, becomes our adversary, is our enemy. Oh yes, and there are several things I could mention tonight. But I believe God laid these on my heart. They come to me, 1, 2, 3, buddy, right down the line. I want to say that the first enemy of distress I want to mention tonight is physical sickness. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we could just make her through our sicknesses with in flying colors. If you believe that, friend, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I'll never forget years ago. Matter of fact, it was in 1989 when I had my back surgery. We had went through a radio marathon, and it was on July the 10th. Ricky Whitlow was here helping me in that marathon. Brother Doug remembers it. I said, I'm going to take every one of these contribution slips and the time I spend in the hospital, I'm going to spend praying. I'm going to pray for every name on every contribution slip that is in this little basket. I'm telling you, I took the basket to my room, but you know how in 7 days, friend, how many of those little slips got pulled out and prayed over? Absolutely snickin's eyes. Not a one. Not none. I felt like I'd been run over by a Mack truck. Didn't care whether I saw anybody or not. In fact, I really didn't care whether I lived or died. I felt like terrible. Now, I'm telling you, friend, that sickness can crowd us in and press us, but I'm glad, thank God, when our bodies are sick, oh yes, that is when God can enlarge us and bless us to the glory of God. Somebody said, preacher, you're nuts. Am I now? Am I really? The Bible said in Isaiah 38, verses 1 through 6, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah the son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Son, I'm telling you that today. Wouldn't that be a terrible sentence, my friend? Wouldn't that be a terrible enemy. Do you think that wouldn't stress you out, laying on your sick bed, and a man of God that just come from the throne of grace looks at you on that bed of affliction and says, you better set your house in order, because I'm telling you, you're going to die and you're not going to get well and you're not going to live. This is the end of the life. You better set things in order. Somebody said, oh, that wouldn't bother me. I know you're macho and you're tough, and that wouldn't stress you none. It wouldn't stress out a person to be in their 30s and told they got cancer. It wouldn't stress anybody out to be middle-aged and be told that they've got some crippling disease that will cripple them in 10 or 12 years, 8 or 9 years. Oh, don't tell me it won't do that. But I've lived long enough that I know better than that. There used to be a time when old Brother Hall thought sickness was just sickness. You know, it's not really a big deal. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. And when you get sick, when you grow old, a little older, and you get sick and start going good, you'll understand what I'm saying. That it is not fun to be a diabetic and stick yourself in the leg. It's not fun, my friend, to have to take so much medication that your head feels as big around as a barrel of spaced out, like you're out in outer space. It ain't fun when you're in that condition. But I'm telling you, if we'll just trust God and try to go with God through that, God is able in that distress, my friend, to enlarge us and help us grow in grace. Amen to God. That's right. How many sick folk there are in our church? I've been thinking about it. There's a lot. Huh? There's very few in here that's not got a physical problem. I'm not done with that verse of Scripture yet, so don't get the idea I am. There's not many in here that doesn't have some sort of a physical handicap. And somebody said, preacher, I don't understand why I'm going through it. I'm going to tell you why. I've been trying to tell y'all why. For year after year I've tried to tell you why. That God wants to take the distressful situation and enlarge you and bless you and help you and teach you to walk with God through it all. Amen. That is absolutely right. Praise God. Miss Hall's sick. She got well today and so did I. She gets sick, I'm serious. She gets sick, I get sick. She was feeling bad last night, laying over her and couldn't hardly breathe. I got up this morning, she said, what's wrong with you? I said, praise God. My foot's numb, my sleeve's just burning and hurting, my legs and feet, I'm just a nervous wreck. I don't believe I'm going to make it. And I got back over her today, she sitting there and she said, guess what? I went over her house and laid down, praise God, and right back. I said, I got to get 10 minutes before I go to the house of God. My feet are burning. I thought it was 5:45, jumped up, got my necktie on, got dressed. I said, well, time to go to church. It wasn't but 5:12, son. I was ready to get here 1.5 hours early. Amen. Miss Hall said, over, and she said, you ain't going to believe this, but I'm feeling better. I said, you ain't going to believe this. My foot ain't a burning. Praise God, I'm feeling better. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you're telling a lie. Oh, no, I'm not. If I'm dying, if I'm alive, son, I'm telling you, the Bible said they twain will be one flesh. And I really believe we've been together long enough that I hurt when she hurts. Of course, ain't nobody else in here sick tonight, are you? And of course, if you are sick, you can take it. You're macho. Don't bother you. I'm going to tell you what it done to the king of Israel. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how that I have walked before thee in thy truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Here is a grown man weeping over sickness unto death. And he's weeping. You ask me, here's a man that is distressed. He's thinking on two things, friend. His life and God. I'm going to tell you one reason we can't get a whole lot done today in our churches. We think we are so stressed out We are so stressed out that all we can think of is us and God in that sense as being touched and healed. Not the work of God, but us and God and why God. He wept sore. You know what he's really saying? My goodness, Lord! I've done right! I threw my television out. My wife got rid of her britches. I quit smoking. I give up every filthy habit. And now you've laid a sickness on me. I'm going to die by that sickness. And he wept sore. He wept sore. The Bible goes on to say, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah the second time. Ain't that marvelous? I'm glad we serve a God of second chances, friend. And he said, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add 15 years unto your life. I'm telling you, friend, if that is not an enlargement, I don't know what it is. There's a man that God said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and showed humility. And with a prayerful heart and a broken heart and a broken spirit, he cried out to God. God said, Isaiah, go tell him that I've heard his prayer. Now look here. If God's going to add 15 years to his life, that tells me that Hezekiah got healed. And it weren't no Benny Hinn around or Oral Roberts. The word just came from the Lord, and the Lord said to Hezekiah, Isaiah, go tell him what I said. I'm going to give him 15 more years. I'll guarantee you. Oh, and I can go on and say, Hezekiah said, well, what's going to be the sign? Old Isaiah said, I'm glad you asked. God done took care of that too. He said, the sign's going to be at the sundial. It's going to go backwards a few degrees for you. Amen to God. I'm glad God gives us assurance, folks. There's a man that's in the valley. There's a man that's sick. I'm talking about sick unto death in the valley. And God comes to where he's at and says, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to heal your sickness. And not only heal you, I'll give you 15 more years of lifetime as well. What a God. He got enlarged. I'd say 15 years was a little enlargement, wouldn't you? Amen. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Well, I guess we've had fun long enough. I won't say the second. I've only got three, and three is all I got. The second enemy that I see, not only physical sickness, but personal sin. You think personal sin, friend, won't hem you up, pressurize you, drain you? Oh yes, it'll just drain all the sap, all the happiness. You know there's a man in the Bible by the name of David, and that man took a midnight stroll that he had no business taking, and looked up on a woman that he had no business looking at, and committed adultery with that woman, and went a step further and killed her husband. Killed, and the Bible said that he was guilty of blood. He was guilty of that man's blood. Right. Now I'm going to tell you that personal sin. If you want to read part of his confession of that sin, you read Psalm 32. David said, God's hand was heavy upon me, day and night. He said, my spirit was dried up within me. He said that God's hand was heavy upon me. But he said, when I acknowledge my transgression, when I cried unto God, that God heard me and God forgave me of all my sin, God, I'm telling you, buddy, we serve a great God. Now here's what David said in Psalm 51, that great confessional chapter in Psalm 51. He said in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. And when everybody look right up here. You know what iniquity is? David didn't say, wash me of my sin. He went further than sin. He had done gotten involved, and his sin had become iniquity. And iniquity is like a spider web. Iniquity is when the sin that we get involved in, whatever it might be, and it doesn't even have to be adultery. It can be lying, stealing, cussing, dipping snuff, critical spirit, bad attitude, bitter heart, calloused heart, complacency of life. But when we let that thing snowball, it gets like a cobweb wrapped around us, and the sin becomes iniquity. Iniquity is the fact that we're wound up, bound up, bound down in that sin that originated in us. Are you listening? Now, he didn't say, purge me, H-Y-S-S-O-P in this verse. But He did say, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Now, I want to show you where He was living, friend. If you don't think that His sin become His enemy, you don't think David was in distress, you don't think that that sin was His adversary, you know who David reminded me of? Some of you sitting in the pews tonight. Because here's what He said in verse 8. Make me to hear joy. Make me to hear joy. Oh yes. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. David said, Lord, my sin has robbed me from my joy, and it's robbed me from my gladness. And He said, You're the one that has brought me to this place. Because of my sin, You've broken my bones, and the joy of the Lord is gone. Now, you think He wasn't crowded in, friend? I'm telling you, the preacher hit the nail right on the head the other night when he talked about what's got you tied up. He talked about us being in a cave. I talked about us being in a cave Sunday night. And we're right back on the same subject tonight. And friend, I'm telling you, sin in your life will bind you up, rob you of your joy, deprive you of your gladness. It is a real adversary. Oh, it'll distress you. That's right. You just can't seem to get over the hump. No, David said, make me to hear joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Then he went on to say in verse number 11, he said, cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Woo! Now look here, I'm going to tell you, God will never take the indwelling Holy Spirit out of a man. But I will tell you this, friend, that like Samson of old, that sin will get us into a place and will stress us to the point and press us and push us and press us until the Lord will depart from you and I, and we'll stand without it and wonder, where is God at in our life? Well, preacher, I can't pray no more. Preacher, I can't sing no more. Preacher, I can't testify no more. Preacher, I can't worship no more. Preacher, I just can't seem to get anything accomplished no more. Maybe it's sin in your life. Maybe it's a distressful time in your life. That sin has got you pressed out of measure and become your adversary and your opponent. It's got you crowded in like this. He said in verse number 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Wonder what happened to our joy. Huh? Can I read the last part of it, though? And I believe this is the last part of David's confession. In Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin unto Thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And David said, think about it! Think about that! David said, when I confessed it, hey, there's the enlargement, son. There's the distress. But thank God, when he cried to God, God forgave him and enlarged him. Restored to him the joy of his salvation. Blessed him and helped him. For I say the first enemy is physical sickness. The second enemy is personal sin. Come on now and get a hold of this with me, and we'll hurry right through it and we'll be done. But I want to say that third enemy that will of distress can very easily be Pharisaical slander. And I said Pharisaical slander. Somebody said, preacher, where did you get that from, God? I tried to look for other things, and God said, preach that or I'll kill you. Now, are you listening to me? Somebody said, where do you get that? Jesus said in Matthew 22:15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. God, have mercy on somebody that is such an adversary of ours, such an opponent, that they'll distress us with slandering words from their mouth and try to corner us up in some little corner and put our back against the wall to try to get something over on us. And I'm telling you, that's a Pharisaical attitude, buddy. Somebody starts bragging to me about how holy they are and questioning me on what I will do and what I won't do and this and that. I'm telling you, that is a Pharisaical attitude that you've got, and in your talk, you're trying to tempt the man of God or trying to tempt the friend, and you're putting pressure on them. Somebody say, "Oh, amen," or "Oh, me, buddy, don't make a lick to me." The Lord went on to say, they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest Thou?" There it is. "What do you think about this, Lord? You're so holy. You're so righteous. What do you think about this? Is it lawful? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Tell us how you think about that. What do you think about this? About this sin? What do you think about that sin? What do you think about tribute money, Lord? What are you going to say about it?" The Bible said that the Lord perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" You know what they were telling the Lord? If you're so righteous, is it right to give money to Caesar? We give it, Lord. Will you? We don't do this, Lord. Like that fellow and that Pharisee and that publican. "I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. Son, I fast. I do this. I. And you're a sinner just like he is." Yeah. I'm about sick of the Pharisaical attitude society that we live in, friend. I'm not going to let it back me in the corner. David said, "He enlarged me when I was in distress, when I was pressed by physical sickness, when my adversary, sin, attacked me, when Pharisees tried to push my back against the wall. It was then that the Lord enlarged me." He said, "Show me the tribute money." They brought it unto Him, a penny. And He said unto them, "Whose is the image and superscription?" They say unto Him, "Caesar's." "Boy, here is the Lord." He said, "Then saith He unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Some of y'all have dropped your countenance terribly. We're just getting along good on physical sickness. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you on this just like I was on the sickness. Right. Amen. Amen. He said, "Render unto Caesar the things of Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." Now I want to hit the other side of the coin, and we're going to the house. There's the enemy of distress. Three things, and that's all God told me to preach. But there is also the enlargement from the Lord. What does He enlarge for us? When we're distressed, when our adversary pushes us, when we have an opponent that pressures us and stress and pressure mounts up against us, what's God trying to do for us? He's trying to enlarge us, friend. He's trying to enlarge us and mature us and help us to grow. I'm going to tell you something. I could go back, and I don't really intend to, but I could go back over some years of my ministry. And I could give you some stories of pressure that has been put on me, and I'll have to say honestly, out of it all. Oh, they were some choppy waters and rough times, but I won't say out of it all, God's enlarged me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Brother Jerry don't seem to be too upset about losing a leg. Thank God. Some of you other folks in here are sick. You don't seem to be totally bent over out of joint. Stressed out. You know why? God's trying to enlarge you. And I'm gonna show you three things where He'll enlarge you. He'll enlarge
our love.
You know, I think about Paul. And if I can paraphrase some of these things, that Corinthian church looked at Paul and said, "You're not an apostle. You're not really a man of God. You're not really a preacher." But here's what Paul said to them. He said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." You know what Paul was saying? The more you press me, the more pressure you put on me, the more persecution you level at me, the more I love you for it. I believe I've got there, Brother Dove. I'm not boasting, but I believe I've got there. I don't believe I'm far from Jerome. I believe if a man smacked me, I could turn the cheek. I believe that. I want you to believe that. Don't let what other people call you, think of you, badmouth you. Let it enlarge you. Let it enlarge you. I don't have time to go there, but Paul said in one place, he said, "My heart is enlarged." Buddy, God's looking for some Baptists with enlarged hearts. I asked my brother a while back, I said, what did the doctor say is wrong with you this time? He said, "Well, my heart was enlarged." I said, "Praise God." He said, "What?" I said, "Praise the Lord, man." Man, God done a wonderful work, hadn't He? Enlarging your heart like that. Isn't that something? Here is a man that said, "You love me less and less and less and less, but the less you love me, the more my heart is turned to you and the more I love you." I want to say, secondly, He not only enlarges. Well, I better go on this. When those who are dear to our heart seem to be growing distant and cold toward us, yet the Lord can enlarge our love for them. For He said in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." But I'm going to tell you right here as the capper of them all. The Lord said in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that..." In Matthew 10:35-36, He said, "For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household." Can you get a hold of that, friend? That's sad. That is sad. That when our family turns cold, indifferent, and begins to draw, pull away from us. But I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, "I can enlarge your heart." Paul said, "The less you love me, the more I love you." Jesus, when He died on the cross, all men forsook Him and fled. And He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Son, that's love, church. And you can say whatever you want to say. That's where God's trying to get people to. "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." I want to say, secondly, not only enlarge our love, you know, He can enlarge our liberty. We ought not ever let stress cramp us the way it has in our church. If we were to come in here Sunday, shout it out, "Bless God, swing the ceiling fans, we had to pull them plumb out of the ceiling." Amen. Shout, run the aisles. Carry on like a bunch of novices. I'm telling you, if you let adversity cramp you, buddy, you are not doing the will of God. That is right. Somebody said, "How can that be?" Listen carefully. Psalm 31:7-8. I will be glad, David said, and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. He said, Lord, you know my soul. You know my trouble. And you know my soul and all these adversities around me. But here's what he goes on to say. He said, and you have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. David said, when all them adversities and my enemies approach me, said, God, just give me more liberty and more liberty and more liberty and more liberty. I asked Dr. Simpson one night when he got done preaching. I said, Doc, did you have liberty to preach tonight? And he said, well, Brother Hall said, I've been preaching long enough that sometimes I just take liberty. I think that's what he was saying. I've been around long enough, and I'm not going to let anybody put the squeeze on me, buddy. Anybody or anything. Well, hey, thou hast enlarged me when I was distressed and set my feet in a large room. He said again in Psalm 118, verse 5, he said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set my in distress. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me. And here's what he done. And he set my feet in a large room, in a large place. Isn't that wonderful? When physical sickness had me stressed out, I called on the Lord. When personal sin had pushed me to the limit, I called on the Lord. When Pharisaical, you can learn some things. I just wrote these little notes down, and I'm done. When He enlarges our learning, we can learn people. Are you listening to me? I'm sure everybody in here has heard Brother Nolan preach. What's one of his favorite thoughts, Brother Doug, that people need to do? I'm listening. I heard him say it at Gene Rayner's one day. Somebody preaching, they said, throw that old man of God down there. Said he ain't saying much. Brother Nolan just sat there. He'd never been around a while. Brother Rayner called on him to preach. Brother Nolan stood up the platform and he said, son, you know I wasn't saying a lot. He said, I had spit a few of you fellas out. He said, I wanted to listen to what you got to say. I'm going to tell you what, you listen to words, what people say, and it'll tell you everything about them.
Amen.
Everything. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm telling you, we'd all do better if we get tight-lipped. Because I'll guarantee you, friend, you get to talking, get talking, run your mouth. Whatever is in there is going to come out. And you can learn, folks, just from what they say. You know what the preacher was here last week told me? He said, I can hear a man preach 5 minutes. I can tell you 9 times out of 10 where he went to school, what books he's studying right now, and who he's reading after. You know why? I'm telling you, when we get to talking, we're going to tell what we are. We really are. And I said, hey, we'll learn. We'll learn people. And I'm going to tell you, it pays to know people in the ministry. You better know a little bit about human nature. I've learned a few things about human nature. You know the best thing I've learned about it? It's putrefying. It stinks. That's why flesh and blood ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God, friend. I'm going to tell you something else you'll learn. You'll learn to cope with your adversity. Everybody I talk to, you know, that has a prolonged illness like diabetes, like some of these folks in here have got, or high blood pressure, bad heart, maybe even Parkinson's, whatever, I don't know, but most people, they tell me this. I was talking to a woman over at Elizabethtown the other day when I preached over there, and she said that she had multiple sclerosis. And I said, how are you doing with it? She said, I didn't do very good for a while, but she said, I have learned how to cope with it. She said, I've learned it every day about 3 o'clock. I have got to take a short snooze. And she said, certain kinds of food that I've got to eat that I don't digest well. You hear what I'm saying? You can learn, even with sickness, that sickness that some of you have got. Learn it. Learn how to cope with it. Some of you, it ain't never going to leave you. That diabetes, Megan, ain't never going to leave you, honey. You better learn as a young girl how to cope with it, how to treat it, how to handle it, how to live with it, how to take care of it, how to take care of your body. I'm telling you, hey, I'm just being honest. You need to learn how to take care of your body. Hey, some things I can't do. Don't ask me no more to climb trees and climb ladders and all that junk. I can't do it.
Right.
I went up to the hospital the other day, see that little girl up to the hospital on the 7th floor now, and come out of that room, you know, that big glass in front. There's people standing there. I thought they'd laugh me to scorn. I looked up and went, and I'm standing on a level floor, and I thought I was going to fall out of the window. Got to learn how to cope with it. You got to learn how to cope with your adversary. I'm going to tell you, even if it's a pharisaical tongue, even if it's somebody that tongue lashes, slanders you, casts words in your teeth, you better learn how to cope with that individual. Try to love them. Amen. I'll tell you something else you'll learn. You'll learn the power of God as He teaches you to overcome. There is a power that will overcome our distress. And not until we overcome it will He enlarge us. He will. He will. He's a great teacher. And look here. Can I say this in closing? He put you where you are. He knows what you are. And Brother Steve, if you think that that acid reflux has just happened, forget it. Some of the greatest people of God have lived with handicaps. Them two little old ladies that prayed in the Lewis Revival. Hunchback and eat up with arthritis in their hands. But if it hadn't been for them, there'd never been a revival on Lewis Island. Some people said that Paul was so near to being blind that to read, he had to get words and letters within 3 or 4 inches of his eyes to even see them. I've read that. Charles Spurgeon lived and preached for years with a physical handicap. George Whitfield died probably from consumption or maybe tuberculosis. Preached on a Sunday morning, went home, laid down, got up, preached on Sunday night, and went to his room and spit blood up from his lungs. And they begged him to preach, and he walked out to a balcony and stood and preached his last message in a home. Are you listening to me? That's power to overcome distresses. And we better learn to overcome them. I'm going to tell you this. The devil plant everything under the sun in your minds and in your heads and tell you everything under the sun to oppress you in your mind and in your thinking. He'll tell you nobody cares, nobody loves you, what's the use, what's the purpose of it. He is a stinking, cockeyed liar. There are people that care. God cares, and God can take that thing and make you a greater Christian. He can make you a greater Christian with a handicap than you'd ever be without it. Doug's handicap was appetite. Appetite. I don't know how he's going to make it come out all right, but he will. I ain't talking about your bald heads, huh? I'm talking about your appetite. Huh? Lord can take those things. Miss Ruth and Miss Sharon know. Little old boy in Mexico. Walks like his name is Juan Antonio. You know what he does? Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, he mounts a pulpit in a little old block church back out in the poor section of Monterey, Mexico, and rocks and fires preaching the Word of God. And he's knocked on every door in his colonia. He's won his whole family to God. He walks like this. Oh, people like that can't do anything. They distress us.
Right.
I thought when I had this automobile accident back in April of 1967, I said, well, and they let Miss Hall come in the emergency room over at Ireland Army Hospital at Fort Knox. I said, well, I guess you'll be divorcing me. She said, why? I said, you won't be married to somebody. I had a big bandage off. I said, you won't be married to somebody ugly like I'll be. She said, no, I'm going to stay with you for a little while. Did any of you see the picture of the man that preached up at Community Covenant Church the other day? See his picture on a board? Now, he's Assembly of God, and I understand that. But in Vietnam, he pulled a grenade, a phosphorus grenade, and they shot him while he had that phosphorus grenade back. And he saw his whole face fall into the water when he was on a little pontoon boat. And his whole face, it burned and eat into him. And while he was laying in the hospital with another man that had this problem, got hurt on the same problem, that man's wife walked into him and told him, I'm done. I can't live with a man like you. And throwed her wedding ring down on his chest. When this fellow's wife walked in, he said, well, I guess you're going to do what his wife done the other day. She said, no, honey, I'm going to love you to the end. And look here, there's two cussers. I forget what he called them. He had names for them. But always cussed him over there. When he'd witness to him, they'd cuss him. You know, he gives his testimony. He's won both of them to God. And you ought to see his face. It is eat up. But he stands in front of people and preaches every week. And God's used him. I'm telling you, friend, thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress. When? Not when I was on the mountain. Not when everything was wonderfully smooth. But when I was cramped and pressed and pressured. That's when God will. Let's stand together.